What's up, everybody, and welcome to All Sports Best. I'm Trey Gonzalez here with a very special guest, and I'm excited because we've been on the show. He's been on the show before, and I just got to catch up with this guy because he knows a ton about baseball, and he's got a lot going for him with Baseball Fam. His name is Shane Sully. Like I said, how you doing today?
What's going on, brother? Glad to be back.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you being on, and we'll just kind of get started with where you're at right now. I know you're in your studio in Cleveland, correct?
Yep, still in Cleveland.
All right, so you got a new spot for pretty much all that you do with the website, you know, writing, tweeting is your big is your main outlet, correct?
That's right.
And then of course you're doing podcasts and all of the stuff that goes with it. So tell me about how you got the studio and what sparked you to get that.
Yeah, studio might be a little stretch if you've seen it. It's a little nice little office space. It's not much yet. Just got to get some, I think we add some paint to the walls, a TV, and some MLB The Show, and a couch and stuff, and we'll be all set. But, yeah, it's just a nice little place to get away. It's tough to, like, podcast from my place or just on the road and stuff, so it's nice to have a private place to do that. And just somewhere else to work, like, you know, working from home is not all it's cracked up to be, because it's like, you know, you're working, but you've got your refrigerator there, and you've got your couch, and you've got your bed, and you've got your TV, like, there's just so much going on, and so I feel like I get a lot more done when I'm in a place that's meant to get work done, so, but yeah, it's coming along, I'm enjoying it.
You're dead set, and you're focused, you're ready to roll with Baseball Fam and all that's to come, so could I ask you what your next steps are?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's been a pretty slow growth process. We've been doing this thing for like 6 years. I was on a, I did a podcast with someone the other day, and it was like the first time I was recalling the early days of what was Baseball Fam and stuff. And it's like, I didn't realize it'd been so long. It's been forever. But, you know, up until this point, it's just been slow growing, just putting out content, you know, trying to get people familiar with the brand and with myself. And I think we've done that. There's always room to grow on that end. So, obviously, just keep pushing out more and more content, and I don't know, man. It's hard to say. A lot of opportunities that, you know, come about just kind of happen without me, you know, reaching out or trying. So I think good things happen when you just put out enough good content out into the world. So hopefully, our content's good, and just pushing out more content like that. Trying to do some more fun stuff this year. We did a couple like out of town vlogs last year. Like one in New York, and then one at the softball game, and a couple others, I think. That was a ton of fun. We've never really done vlog travel content like that. I had a freaking blast, so I think selfishly I want to do some more of that. So we are going to Omaha. We got a nice little crew, like four or five of us, I think.
Sweet.
So that'll be fun. Maybe like the Women's College World Series too. That might be an option. I don't know, some other events. Maybe like the All-Star game in DC. I don't know. Just kind of flying by the seat of my pants, but hopefully just doing some more fun stuff, man.
You're throwing around some good ideas. I mean, obviously if you can write off things like that, you might as well.
Oh, for sure, dude. It's a tax-free trip to DC. I'll take it.
No doubt. So I know that you're probably not looking at necessarily an end game, but what is the ultimate goal for Baseball Fam? When you decide, hey, I made it, where is that going to be?
That's a good question. I don't know if there is an I made it, because I enjoy what I'm doing so much that I don't think there's like a finish line for someone who is in this situation. You know, like if you started a business selling hand soap or something, like then there would be a finish line. You'd be like, I want to exit, sell to GE or something like that. You know, but for something like this, I just enjoy doing it so much. I think, I guess making it would be to be able to do it like full time up to the level of a lifestyle that I would want to live, and to be able to bring on more people to do the same. Because, you know, most of this is just like me tweeting by myself, but the most fun I've ever had with the stuff we've done is when I'm out meeting people. You know, we're traveling, we've got a crew, we're out meeting some of the guys that, you know, we've been chatting with online forever.
Right.
So I think making it would be that, me being able to comfortably put all my time into it and, you know, keep having a blast and keep growing.
A big part of your business is Twitter and, like you said, communication and really getting yourself out there. And, of course, you guys put out some really funny stuff. And then obviously some controversial stuff that people kind of comment back and forth, but it's all fun and games. And I mean, it's all for the fun and games of just getting people to talk and just getting people to buzz. So I got to know, what are the best mentions that you've ever had on Twitter by maybe a pro player or celebrity?
Oh man. That's good. There's been, we have some good combos on Twitter, obviously. To be honest, I'm going to kind of pivot here. My favorite mentions aren't really like the big leaguers, and I'll answer that in a sec. But
okay.
My favorite part of my mentions is, like, not to sound like a dick or anything, but like some of the stupidity that comes through my mentions where I'm like, you get into arguments and people are just trying so hard to win the argument rather than actually make a good point. And it's just funny to see how people work and how upset people could get over a couple of tweets. Favorite mentions? Shoot, that's tough. I mean, I think the podcast we did with McCullers was awesome, and he's a frequent commenter on Twitter.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to give the award to him because he's just a really cool, down-to-earth guy that loves to just chat it up with everybody, just loves the bullshit as much as we all do. Sometimes it's like easy to feel really disconnected from a lot of those guys that have blue check marks from playing baseball.
Right.
But, like, I don't know about you, but I'm at the age now where, like, the majority of them are my age or younger. Like, they're younger than me.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's weird to think, like, okay, this dude enjoys the same shit we do, just a lot more expensive.
Yeah,
taste
he's just better shopping, at baseball.
Yeah, so, like, we have a lot of cool conversations. I mean, McCullers is one of our favorites for sure. We get some old-timers, like Dallas Braden. Actually, I don't know if I should call him an old-timer. Like Dallas Braden, Eric Burns, even John Kruk is pretty decent on Twitter. So they'll chime in every now and then. No one really sticks out other than the usuals.
I know you're a big Cleveland Indians fan. And so, I mean, I got to know what your take is on the fact that Chief Wahoo is going to say bye-bye pretty soon.
I'm a little upset about that, but I'm just more confused than anything because the way that it was tough to interpret what the final decision that they came up with. I'm not sure. They're definitely getting rid of it, hanging at the stadium, on the uniforms, probably no more like graphics on ESPN or MLB Network or anything like that. But I think they kind of slid in a line in that press release about how they'll still sell the apparel with Wahoo on it.
Really?
So that's interesting. So it'll never die, especially if that's the case. Now, even if that's not the case, let's say, because all of these companies that make hats, like New Era or, the store Lids or a couple of the others, like Fanatics and stuff, they're all licensed to produce MLB trademarked apparel. So I don't know if it's going to be like, so maybe the Indians won't sell it in their team shop, but is Lids still going to carry it? Or is Fanatics still going to have Chief Wahoo gear?
Right.
So I don't know. And I don't know if the Indians can even, or MLB can even stop them from doing that. I'm not really sure if they can hold a trademark, but make sure no one uses, I don't know. So, but the whole Chief Wahoo thing, man, I'm super over it. I'm done trying to understand what's wrong with it. I mean, I guess I can understand people's perspectives, but I think I said this on a podcast when I was talking about it. Like, I don't understand how, because I've personally met a ton of Native American Indians or indigenous, whatever they like to be called nowadays. I don't know. No disrespect. But,
right.
You talk to plenty of them and you see these stories and you hear these stories about, a lot of them saying, we're big Indians fans. We don't really like baseball, but we just love, we love the logo. We love the name. We love the culture. We love seeing people in the stands in headdresses and stuff. And it's like, obviously, that's our team here in Cleveland. Nobody's doing that maliciously. We love our tribe. And other things that you would view as racist, like, some of the obvious, the stories out of Boston when fans are screaming the N-word at players. Like,
right.
If you have a discussion about the N-word, you'll never find, a black person, a person of color in America that's like, oh, no, it's totally cool. Go ahead.
Right,
because
exactly.
It's obviously inherently has historical ties to racism, but with Chief Wahoo, you get like a mix, and I'm sure there are people that don't like it or upset over it because they're outside the stadium on opening day every single year. I see them, but they're just such a mixed crowd that it's like, I don't know, who do you want to please more, the fans or I don't know. But I'm done with the battle. I just think the biggest thing here is they need to come up with another alternate logo. And a lot of people in Cleveland that week were talking up the idea of having like a feather. Because there's some clothing companies around here that have made some Indians apparel in the past couple years, and they all have like their different version of a feather. And it's sick. And I like the idea of having like a hat with just a feather on it, like a red, white, blue type of caricature feather. I don't know. You have to see the pictures. They're pretty sweet. But I hope they come up with something alongside the Black Sea.
Yeah, indeed. That would be cool. It'd be a cool alternative to the actual picture. But, I mean, you can't erase it from history. You definitely can't erase it from, like, Major League. You can't take it from the movie or anything. So, I mean, you know, it's going to still be around. I think that I'm going to buy one this year just to make sure I don't let it die with where I'm at.
You got to.
So my question for you, and we're going to go off of teams a little bit here, but D-backs are bringing back the bullpen cart, and I'm sure other people are going to follow suit pretty soon. Is that a good or bad thing for MLB?
I don't know if that's going to catch on. Talking about whether it's good or not for MLB, you would have to decide if this is more than just a gag promotional joke, which I kind of took it as. I thought they would just do it for like a couple games. So I don't have like actual baseball memories of a bullpen cart.
Right,
so like
same.
These dudes are going to get called in from the pen and a cart is going to go drive to the entrance and they're going to roll in on the warning track on the baseline. Is that my understanding that right?
Yes, that's exactly how it's supposed to be. And it is weird. It is different. I'm a D-backs guy, but I don't know.
That's bananas. And I guess that would save some time. But I heard someone, I wish I could credit their rant. I forget who it was, but they were talking about just the intensity of the moment of like bottom of the ninth, enter Sandman, just blazes the arena and Mariano Rivera takes his trot in from the pen. Like that's one of the best moments of a baseball game,
for
like
sure.
A 4-hour game. Give me that 30 seconds over, inject that into my veins. So, I mean, like you'll laugh at a dude rolling in on a bullpen car, like seeing Bartolo Colon riding in on a car. That's funny and everything. But I hope it doesn't become a thing.
I just wish it was an option. Just like, hey, you know what? Dude, if you want to roll in, that's your style. You're kind of a goofy guy because we know pitchers are and can be, you know, then that's cool.
If pitchers could paint themselves as even less of an athlete than needing a freaking golf cart.
Exactly. That makes a lot of sense. But what do you think? And that kind of brings me into my next topic, which is the limited mound visits. They're trying to cut down on time at games. They're trying to speed up the game. And I think that's exactly why they kind of started to hint back at that bullpen cart. What do you think about the limited mound visits that are coming into play?
The problem with, and nobody's ever going to be happy with anything they do to change the game. Whether it's, I mean, there's never been a change to the game where everyone's like, oh yeah, this is awesome. This is going to be great. Even all the way back to replay, everyone hated it. Some people still hate it. So, I'm not in favor of things that affect the actual gameplay or stats, like, or strategy. So, these mound visits, I mean, I guess you'll get used to it, but just think of how lame it's going to be that we're sitting here counting mound visits. Like, are they going to put it on the scoring ticker on, you know, TBS in the top right corner? Like, timeouts in the NBA? Like, are we going to see a, you know, five? How many mound visits do they even get? I don't know. And certainly they're overused. You know, it's not like a team's going to miss out that much. But, I mean, deep in a game, I don't know. I don't have a problem with the pace, so it's hard for me to judge on this. I don't have a problem with them exploring options to speed the game up because, listen, we can all be traditionalists and talk about how much, you know, how big of a baseball fan we are and toot our own horns because we're traditionalists. But at some point, the average fan does matter. Like, you can't just cater the game to us, me and you, and
right.
The diehard baseball fans. Like, we're not the ones filling up the stadium. We're just not. Especially our age group in 2018, we're just not. Like, the old people that watch baseball are going to die. So we need to figure out a way to make baseball cool and fun again while still respecting the integrity of the game. You can have both. There's definitely options that, you know, you can have both. Like, when they eliminated the intentional walk. Nobody misses the intentional walk. That's stupid. Don't talk to me about overthrows. So there are things you can do. I mean, I don't know. So I don't really have much of an opinion on it, but I'm all for figuring out how to make a game shorter. Come on, we play 162 games. They don't need to be 4 hours apiece.
Yeah, well,
so
I got you
if we
on
can
that.
Find a way to do it, I'm in.
Well, so I guess what they've proposed is that they're going to limit the mound visits, but if you go over the amount, you get fined. It's not like an in-game penalty. It's just a fine. So, I mean, nowadays, obviously, contracts are outrageous. I don't think it's going to be that big of a problem if, you know, catcher calls timeout and he's just like, I'll eat that fine. You know what I mean?
Well, they're definitely not going to be fining the catchers, right? That'd be messed up. They got to fine the organization.
Well, I think they can, but if it's like the catcher clearly did it on purpose, I mean, I don't know, maybe not. But I know that there was, I wish I could tell you the exact person that said it, but he was a catcher and he said, hey, if I need to call a timeout, I'll call it, I'll pay the fine, you know? So, I mean, I think it's kind of cool. It's kind of just like if you're going to go back your guy for a fight, you're going to get fined too, but, you know, it's kind of just something you needed to do for your team. So, I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. And those guys aren't good. I mean, Sanchez is not going to be paying fines for that. Like, that's going to be coming from the organization or the pitcher or a different player. I don't know what the fine's going to be, and I don't think it'll – I don't know. But this is, again, one of those things that even if it does stick, people are going to forget about it in a week, I'm telling you. Like, a week in the season, you'll never hear about it.
What is the best offseason move that you've seen, you know, so far?
Obviously, it's got to be Stanton, right?
Oh, yeah.
Probably the best, selfishly. I'm a big fan of Eric Hosmer going to San Diego because I just can't stand looking at that guy's faux hawk. And so I don't have to see him play the Indians 30 times a year.
Wow.
So I'm excited about that. I'm excited at how it all turned out. It was a pretty slow, boring season, but I almost think like we needed a correction in the market. Like players were just coming in with these outrageous, insane numbers, and teams were finally just like, nope, not going to pay that. And then you got Moustakas signing for like $6.5 million with some incentives and stuff after turning down 17.5, I think was his offer.
That sucks for him.
Yeah, it sucks for him. But take that, Scott Boras. Like, I don't know what you want me to say. The market's market, dude. Whatever you're worth, whatever a team's going to pay you to play baseball. Okay, you're not worth whatever number you come up with in your head. And I've got nothing against you shooting high and getting your money, whatever. But I've also got nothing against the owners saying, screw that, I'm not paying that. And then you meet somewhere in the middle, and that's called economics. And that's the free market. I'm just a fan of how it works out.
The Astros have a chance to, you know, make a run at it again, obviously. Everybody does. But what is your opinion on their hangover possibility? It's all over, you know, it's been questioned, and it happens to teams all the time. But do you think that they're going to do this, or do you think they're going to put their head down and be laser-focused?
I don't know if they're going to do it, but I'm not sure I buy into the hangover thing. Like, I just think the sample size in baseball is just way too big that things like that, I just don't think they have as big of an effect as people outside the game might say. I mean, you've played a long season before. There's just no way that you can come in with a hangover attitude every single day. Like, it's just such a grind. You're going to have up days and down days, good days, bad days. But I don't see how that is something that's on the mind of players. I don't know. So, no, I don't really buy into that. I'm not sure if they're going to do it. They've got as good a chance as anybody. I don't know if Garrett Cole is as good as everyone assumes he's going to be either. He's definitely needs a bounce back season. But if he does that, I mean, they've got one of the best rotations in the game. And when you do that, you've got a chance. I mean, Astros, Yankees, Red Sox, no one's really talking about the Indians because we didn't really make much of a move except for letting like 8 dudes walk.
That was rough.
But I do like Alonso. I do like Yonder Alonso. So I'm excited about that pickup. But I don't know. Hangover, I don't really buy it, but we'll see.
Biggest top two contenders in each league for the World Series this year. What's your opinion on that?
Oh, man.
I know it's early. Way early.
Right. Top two. I'm just going to go Yankees. I don't like that. I'm going to go Yankees and Astros. NL, I don't really pay attention to as much. See, this is the hard thing. I'm totally honest when it comes to this online. Like, everyone knows this. I'm not a huge offseason guy. I will tell you who plays on what team once I get MLB The Show 18. but as for the NL, I mean, can we just go Dodgers again? And can we go my favorite NL team, the Colorado Rockies?
Really? So you're going to have an in-division matchup there?
I didn't think about that. But
no, you're
yes,
good.
We are. We definitely are.
Good. I'm glad you left out my team there. There's going to be some new ballpark food being introduced, and I can name a couple of them that I saw, or a few of them, and I want to see what you think about it. And I know we talked about traditionalists and things like that. You don't seem to really be on that bandwagon of keeping things traditional, so I'm going to see what you think about this. The asada dog, which is like a Mexican twist on the hot dog. It's got, you know, different spices and, you know, different meat on the hot dog. You got steak and ale tots. I think those are pretty much self-explanatory. Chicken fried banh mi and curd and Q burger, which is a barbecue burger with cheese curds on it. Out of those four, what are you going to try first if you get a chance?
I don't know. They all sound like they cost like $24, so I'm probably not going to try any of them. I don't even know what half of those words mean. Like, I don't know what a curd is. So
really?
That's hard to say. I'm not much of a – you're right, I'm not a traditionalist, but – I'm not much of like a let's go try some hamburger with Fruit Loops on top of it type guy. They've been doing. That's not really my thing. I mean, if I would eat it at a restaurant, then yeah, I'll try it at a ballpark. But these people are just nuts. Like, why would I put Fruit Loops on a hot dog?
Yeah, it makes sense.
So I honestly can't even answer that because I can't even picture. I tried to picture in my head what you were describing, and I can't. So probably none of them, if that's an answer.
Give me a prediction for your team's outcome.
Ah, damn it, man. I'm not as high on this team as I was the last 2 years. I think last year was the year. If I'm going to talk as just like a very objectively, I just don't feel it, man. We lost a lot of bullpen. The excitement's not as – I mean, we still got the pitching. Danny Salazar's got a lot of questions. Bauer always has a lot of questions. That fifth spot has some questions. Clevinger or Tomlin. I don't know, man. I think we got some exciting young guys. We're going to see who's going to be coming up this year. But and I also think that AL Central is just going to be a cakewalk. So I think they'll win the division. And I'm kind of talking myself into the success right now. This is good. So I think we'll win the division. And if you win your division, anything can happen. In a short series with, you know, our rotation, anything can happen. So I guess I feel better than I originally thought. But I don't think this team is as good as it was in past years. So I think last year was the year, and it still kills me that how it ended. But win the division. I don't see us going up with the Astros or the Yankees or the Red Sox. But that's before any of these teams even take the field. So
right.
Who knows?
Hey, you got to stay optimistic too. So I got to give you credit, by the way, because a couple years back when you got on the show the first time around, and this was when the podcast was kind of just getting started, you predicted, I said, well, what are the Indians going to do this year? You said they're going to make and win the World Series. They made the World Series. They didn't win it, but I was thoroughly impressed. I was like, there's no shot.
You're damn right, dude, because I don't just make predictions like that out of my rear end, man. Okay, I'm a Tribe fan, but I'm not like a diehard fan like most people are. Like, I'm a fan of the team, but it's a team. I don't like using pronouns like we or, you know, my team, stuff like that. So I can definitely disconnect. Like, if the Indians aren't in it, I can still pay attention to baseball and have a good time. So I think I can be somewhat objective. I get a little emotional sometimes in the playoffs or throughout the season, like anyone else, but I'm cool. So thank you for that.
All Sports Best is sponsored by Albertsons Market, Bowen Insurance, Constructors Inc., and Kaleidoscope's Ice Cream and More. I'm here with Shane Sully of Baseball Fam. Shane, we're going to do this thing called rapid fire. I'm going to throw questions at you. These are personal, so you don't even have to worry about, you know, having to think too much. And then we'll just kind of shoot them off, and we'll go from there. Are you good with that?
Deal. Let's go.
Number one, favorite color?
Orange.
Favorite second sport?
I don't have one.
Really?
Golf.
Okay.
For sure.
Favorite food?
Bacon.
Favorite baseball brand?
Nike.
Dream car?
Maserati GT.
We're going to go baseball style here, so we're going to go favorite Dippin' Dots?
Cookies and cream.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Favorite childhood memory?
Oh, damn. Childhood memory? I cannot rapid fire that one. I guess if I'm trying to keep this super cliche and baseball related, like maybe the time I met Griffey.
Ooh, you met Griffey? Get out of here.
Yeah. Just like on the baseline before a game in Cincy, I think it was. I guess I don't have that good memory of it. My dad seems to not be a fan. Like he, every time we talk about that, he was like, "Oh, Griffey was a dick. He wouldn't even sign your bat." I'm like, "Dude, I was five. I don't remember it. Don't tell me that." So that's possible. But I guess that, or mostly like playing ball, I have better memories of.
Okay. Favorite TV series?
I'm terrible at this. I don't do a ton of TV series, to be honest with you. Let's go 24.
Okay, then we could change it over to baseball movie. Favorite baseball movie?
Major League, but that's not fair because I'm a Tribe fan. Let's go Moneyball.
Let's say you're in the game right now. You're playing the sport. What's your glove of choice?
It's got to be Nike, man. I'm loyal to Nike to a fault. Something about the brand, the swoosh.
Even with the gloves?
Oh, yeah. Dude, if I was playing cricket, I would have a Nike, whatever you call those things.
That's a good. Hey, that's a really good example right there.
Yeah, but when I was playing, good Nike gloves are hard to find. You can't just order one out of East Bay and expect to get a good quality glove. I'm not even sure how you do it, to be honest. But there are top-notch Nike gloves, but they're not what you're probably going to see if you're shopping for them. But when I played, I had a red Rawlings Pro Preferred, and then the NCAA outlawed colored gloves.
Right.
Allegedly. And then I went to a TPX Flair, which I loved. It was black, closed web, woven. I love that one, too.
All right. Favorite player?
Griffey.
Favorite active player now?
Tyler Clippard. You've never heard that answer before.
No, I haven't. And he's on the Nationals still, correct?
No, he just signed with who?
Did he really?
Like a week ago. Yeah, I was pissed, dude, because he was still on the market, and I'm like, Tribe needs some bullpen. Let's make it happen. I've never owned a baseball jersey in my life, but that would probably be my first.
Let's see. Favorite ballpark?
Ooh, PNC in Pittsburgh.
Ooh, that's a good one. What about hidden talent?
I don't know if my guitar talents are so much hidden because I kind of whore them out on Instagram a little bit. hidden talents? I'm super nerdy. Like I can figure out some codes and shit on like computer nerdy.
All right, last on rapid fire is going to be, if you could meet one athlete, who would it be?
Oh, God.
Because you already met Griffey. You can't do it again.
Yeah, and I would let me tell you this, that would never be my answer. That would be so low on my list because the guy, I love the guy, he's my favorite player, awesome dude, unless you ask my dad. But he's not the sharpest tool in the shed. I don't know if it's just he's terrible at speeches and interviews. Maybe he's better in conversations. But when I went to Cooperstown for his Hall of Fame induction, the guy put me to sleep, dude. I had a headache listening to him. But, like, wow. Like try to go over his. I think it was just because it was a written speech. He's just not a very eloquent guy. No disrespect. Still the GOAT. Who would I want to have a conversation with? Can it current player or forever?
Doesn't even have to be a player. It could just be a celebrity. Anybody.
Oh, celebrity. Anybody. Who would I want to have a conversation with? Probably David Gilmour of Pink Floyd. How about that?
Okay, that'll work. Last on the list here is just any words of advice for somebody that wants to just kind of follow. I mean, obviously you're following your dream to be able to run this account, run the website and do what you're doing and seeing games and things like that. So if you're going to give a kid advice, you know, what is it going to be?
A kid advice that's trying to do what?
Just anything, follow their dreams, kind of chase whatever they're going for.
Okay. Depending on how big you want to go, first off, I'm going to tell you that you have to be – I'm going to tell you not to do it. Don't do it because it's extremely difficult and it's hard and it takes a long time and it's not fun all the time. And the reason I say that is not to – because I want to discourage people from doing it, but the people that are going to end up doing it are going to do it regardless of me telling them not to do it. And that's who should honestly do it, because it's hard. But, you know, if we're talking like, you know, if you just want to write for a site or you just want to be involved in baseball media on like a smaller level, everyone always, I get that a lot. I get that question like, hey, I want to start writing. You know, how do I get a job? It's like, it's 2018. You got to start figuring it out. Okay. You don't need Bleacher Report to hire you to start writing.
Right.
Get online, make a blog. If you want to be a vlogger or a podcast or whatever, get started and just go. And it's going to suck. Best advice I ever heard is if you're not embarrassed by the first version of your product, you waited too long to start. So go listen to episode 0 of my podcast. It's nails on a chalkboard, dude. It's horrible. So is the first blog. So are the tweets. Go back and read the tweets from like 2011 or 2012. Just, it's so embarrassing. So you just got to get started, dude. It's free to start your own blog and start writing. It's free to turn your camera sideways and start making videos. It's going to suck. You're going to be embarrassed. People aren't going to watch it for a long time. But if you're good enough, and eventually they will. So that'd be the advice I give.
Awesome, man. Hey, any last words that you want to, you know, give out? Any shout outs, anything like that that you want to kind of put out there?
I don't think so. Maybe on that topic, I've been seeing a ton of people doing exactly what I just said. I mean, there's so many new sports blogs, sites, podcasts, and stuff, even just in my niche of baseball, and I know you do other sports too, but it's awesome to see, because it really is as simple as just getting started, and most people aren't going to make it, but regardless of who makes it, who doesn't make it, it's just really cool to see, and it makes for a fun culture, selfishly, for me, so I'm pumped to see it. Some people might see that as competition, but I just love seeing people get skin in the game, because the more people we have doing this, there's definitely room for more of us. I mean, you and me and sites like ours. So I'm excited to see more people get into it.
Shane, thanks again for being on the show. We really appreciate it. And it's always a pleasure to have you on and just kind of pick your brain on baseball and everything that it entails. We wish you the best of luck for the rest of the season. Hopefully the Indians pull out some, you know, a good season, and, you know, everything works out for you.
That's right. I appreciate it, Trey, man. Thanks.